At the time of Jesus, north of the boundaries of Israel was a land where the Phoenicians lived and the Canaanites, who were not believers in the God of Israel, and the Jews really considered them almost like enemies. And only once did Jesus go beyond the boundaries of Israel and enter into that pagan territory, and that's what we read about today. And it's possible that he did so because he was approaching his arrest and his crucifixion. And he needed some privacy. He needed to be away from the leaders of the Jewish people who were harassing him in order to prepare his disciples for his coming arrest and crucifixion. However, one of the Canaanite women heard about him, got wind that he was up there, and she comes up to him, as we just heard, and begs him to cast a demon out of her daughter. Jesus had decided that during his lifetime, he was only going to focus on the people of Israel and prepare them to be light for the nations, to the Gentiles. And so he had to limit himself with the time that he had on this earth, and that was his decision. But she didn't care about that decision. All she cared about was her daughter. And so she cries out to him, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." My daughter is tormented by a demon. These words immediately brought Robin Williams to my mind. Because if you read any articles about him over this last week, that term was often used. He was struggling with his demons. Most of us knew Robin Williams as a comedic genius, beginning with the sitcom Mork and Mindy in the 1970s. I remember laughing my head off in many of his movies, in particular when he played the role of this woman, Mrs. Doubtfire. It was extraordinarily funny. A Mercury News article about Robin Williams had the following paragraphs. But for all his humor, there was a sad side as well. Anyone who's followed him over the years knows he, like many comedians, used humor to deal with his demons. He'd been to rehab most recently in July. He was an alcoholic and cocaine addict. Obviously, his pain was enormous. It's frightening to think that someone who made a living at bringing happiness to others could be stuck in a depression so deep that he saw no way out but to take his own life. Williams told UK newspaper The Guardian in 2010 that drinking was a way to deal with constant fear, even if it sometimes prompted behavior he found shameful. Quote, "It's just literally being afraid," he said. "And you think, oh, this will ease the fear." And it doesn't. All of us who admired and appreciated Robin Williams, I'm sure, are deeply saddened knowing about the terrible anxiety and fear that he struggled with, that depression that his probably would led him to suicide. And we probably had no idea how he struggled with depression and drug addiction. People who have not experienced clinical depression don't realize how it can control one's emotional life. It's like a huge dark cloud that comes over the person, and the person often feels helpless to escape from it. The same is true with alcoholism and drug addiction. Well-meaning family members who never had the experience of addiction or depression often tell their friends or their families, just get over it. Stop drinking. Stop taking the drugs. Control your craving. But they don't understand the nature of addiction. The fundamental characteristic of addiction is that it controls the person. The person doesn't control the addiction. And that's why the first step toward recovery, according to Alcoholics Anonymous, is to realize that it is making my life unmanageable. Now, there's a kind of an opposite approach toward drugs that you find in more of a permissive mindset that says, just legalize recreational drugs. No big deal with marijuana. And yet one study by the National Academy of the Sciences found an average drop of 8 points in IQ between childhood and adulthood in teens who have heavy marijuana use. And a second study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that of those students who got mostly D's and F's, two-thirds of them had used marijuana. So it's not just a harmless substance. It has a big impact on one's brain, on one's personality, and addiction always gets worse. Most people start with marijuana, eventually go to harder drugs. And I think this is what happened with Robin Williams. And so he just went into this downward spiral, and he felt that he was lost. If only somebody had been able to introduce him to the Lord. From what I had read, he had no relationship with the Lord. Now, we need to stop stigmatizing depression and addiction. They are diseases. You know, someone who has cancer, we're not going to stigmatize them and say, well, it's because you have moral failures that you ended up with this disease. No. And the same is true with mental illness and addiction. They are diseases. They require treatment, just like any other disease. And the most successful for alcohol and drug addiction is the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. There are very good mental health rehabs. But even more powerful than the rehab, more powerful than going to AA meetings, which I totally support going to. But when you talk to alcoholics who have been in recovery for many years, most of the time they will tell you the great breakthrough came, and millions of people would tell you this, the great breakthrough came when they came to realize that there is a higher power. There's a higher power who could restore them to sanity. Once they came to believe that and turned over their life and their will to the care of the higher power, that's usually when the great breakthrough occurs, restoring them to sanity. This is what the Canaanite woman came to believe about the famous Jewish rabbi and healer, Jesus of Nazareth. She was convinced from what she had heard that he could free her daughter of the demon who tormented her. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. When she persisted in demanding a healing and even joked with Jesus about the little dogs who eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, Jesus was profoundly moved. And he answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Even though the girl was healed instantly, recovery from depression and addiction, and even from demonic possession, usually is a long process. The most important element in that process is faith in the higher power. Jesus says, "Nothing is impossible for the one who believes." And we Catholics and other Christians have such a great advantage because we know who is the higher power. He's not just a vague force out there in the universe. He's a person. He became one of us, Jesus Christ. And so, if we respond to mental illness, depression, addiction, or other personal struggles with faith in the tender mercy of Jesus Christ, he will respond to us as he did to the Canaanite woman, saying, "Great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And of course, this takes time. It's a process. It's a daily turning over one's life and one's will to his care. And this is because this is such a key to life, not just recovery from unhealthy habits and addictions. It's the key to life, the key to relationships, the key to family life. This is why we should actively and consciously invite people to know Jesus Christ. Invite people to become Catholic Christians. At this time of year, we always encourage our parishioners to go to your friends and family members who don't have a relationship with the Lord, who are not members of the church. Invite them to consider coming to Jesus Christ, coming to the Catholic Church, through the rite of Christian initiation of adults. And I'd like to invite one of the leaders of the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, the RCIA, Kim Barbieri, to share with us about this beautiful process that we have in our parish and throughout the Catholic world.
Thank you, Father Kevin. Good evening. Again, my name is Kim Barbieri, and I am speaking on behalf of the St. Lucie Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, hence the acronym RCIA. I began my journey with RCIA 8 short years ago. When asked if I would consider sponsoring, my initial feeling was one of apprehension. How could I sponsor someone when I didn't have all the answers? My husband, Mark, encouraged me to pray about it. It wasn't long before I decided to answer God's call. I was matched up with Kim, a recent widow and mother of twin boys. Kim would be receiving all of her sacraments. Kim's husband was Catholic, and it was something she had wanted for a very long time. Her boys were fully initiated the year before, and she felt now it was the right time for her. It took no time at all before we developed a true connection and a lifelong friendship. After sponsoring for a couple years, we were asked to be part of the team. Mark and I decided to once again answer God's call. This year, we begin our 8th year with RCIA, and each year is as exciting as the last. We receive such joy and spiritual enrichment each year being part of this ministry. As I look back now, taking that first step and answering God's call has been for me a life-changing experience, and one that I will always be happy that I answered. I hope my sharing gives witness to you considering joining the RCIA ministry, here as a sponsor or part of our coordinators team. We are always looking for parishioners to be role models and mentors in the faith to those seeking full initiation. We invite most especially those adults who are not fully initiated, meaning you have not received your sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and/or Holy Eucharist. We want you, the Church wants you, Jesus wants you, from all traditions and backgrounds to consider joining us on a journey of faith towards a rich and meaningful relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if you are a fully initiated adult, do you know someone who needs Jesus and his love from the Catholic Church? If you, a friend or family member, are seeking the same intimacy with Christ and his church, we invite you to discuss this with me after Mass today or contact the parish office about RCIA. We have registration forms found at the exits of the church. We invite you to pick one up as you leave and give it some prayerful thought and consideration for you or someone you know. Thank you so much for your time, and may God's blessings be with us all.